Sometimes we think of hope as a wish, one that we want to come true, but know it might not. But in reality, hope is not that at all. Hope is defined as to wish for something with expectation of its fulfillment. To hope is to have a desire and be confident that it will happen.
In the Bible, hope is linked to faith and implies expectation, trust, and patient waiting. The Greek word elpis appears 54 times in the New Testament and over 30 times in the form elpizo. Elpis is a confident trust in God, even when waiting must be endured.
Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful.
For in this hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently.
And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us.
Good morning once again. Pastor Paul here. As you know, we're going to be having communion today. It's Communion Sunday, and before we do, it's always appropriate to get into the Word. We are continuing our series entitled Harvest of Hope that is all about bringing people back into in-person service, as well as just feeding our community about hope, the need for hope. But before we actually start with part four today, that part four is entitled, When Hope is Gone, With No Reason to Live. That's the title of the message. So let's start with a little funny humor, shall we? Heard about this man who's on a business trip for a long extended time, wanted to get his wife a gift of perfume. So we stepped into the store and asked the cosmetic clerk if he had a bottle of perfume he could give to his wife. So the clerk went to the back room, came back out with a $60 bottle. And the man said, that is just too much. So the man went back into the back room, came back with a $30 bottle of perfume, and he said, that's still quite too much in his argument. So the clerk went back, came back with a $15 small bottle of perfume, and the man said, no, that's still too much. I really want to see something cheap. So the clerk bent over the counter and handed the man a mirror. I just thought I would impress you with that one. Let's not cheapen ourselves in our time with the Lord before we even get into the Word. Let's give him our full undivided attention. As you can see, today's message is about hope, but it's also about those times that people face with regards to thoughts of suicide, how to restore hope, and how to deal with the element when people feel that there is no hope and no reason for living. So we need the Lord's help, don't we? Would you go ahead and focus your attention? God has something for you. Let's not let the enemy of our soul rip us off. Let's keep everybody focused this morning on what God has for you. Heavenly Father, thank you. You know the times of our life and the seasons of that life. But even more so, Lord, you know our future, and it's very bright. So, Lord, we're claiming victory, and I thank God for the many, many people praying for our audience right now. You are the God of the breakthrough, and you're going to give breakthrough for all of us. And it's found in Jesus and the victorious work of the cross and the power of the resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, once again, I recognize that the element of suicide is such a complicated and difficult, really a messy issue, and we're not going to settle it or even solve it here this morning. But I do want to remind us, we're going to move and press forward. That's our heart's desire. That's what we're believing for this morning, that we would press forward, all of us, press forward toward God, press forward in our life, And let's remind ourselves, we're not going to press for perfection. That's just not going to happen this side of heaven. So it's important for us once again. And let's ask God continually, if you find yourself in a point of despair, if you find yourself in a point of just areas where, does anybody understand me? Is there any future that I might have? Would you ask God for help? That's so important. That's why we always pray. Ask God for help. Don't be intimidated or ashamed. God's not going to somehow bring a guilt complex over you. He's not about to destroy you. He's not going to bring areas of feelings of guilt. God loves you. And maybe that word is a little bit overworked. Let me just say this. God likes you a lot. So it's important for us to ask God, Lord, help us. He'll show us, all of us, maybe there's paths of destruction that we're on that we shouldn't be, and that the Lord's going to help direct us around so that the maximum efficiency of a fulfilling life comes your way. That's my prayer for you. I know there's many people praying for you, and maybe you who are with us this morning, you've never entertained the elements of suicidal thoughts, but all of us have known somebody or possibly have had to help somebody through those dark days. So let's pay attention and let's believe that the Lord's going to assist us to bring help and hope to others, or maybe you're right now in that area. I want to just encourage us all. Let's use that word, stand firm. Let's stand firm. How do I mean? Well, we're encouraging in this month of Harvest of Hope to bring back people into live, in-person worship. Hebrews 10:25 says, let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some, especially when we see this day. The day of the Lord's approaching is near. So it's important for us, and we recognize now, 8 months removed from being isolated because of COVID, that we really recognize we are stronger together. We are healthier together. It's true. We're even safer together. Boy, that's great. The greater impact we can all make is together. The greater impact to our world, it's so important. But I do think the church has bought into a lie. The church in the United States, and I believe that that lie is that people are somehow thinking that they're safer at home, that they're safer in isolation. And yes, that somehow that lie is that they are even safer online watching church service. But God's word really to us is we need to stand together. And that's my heart's desire. And our prayer, many people are praying that you and I together will one day reunite an in-person service like the church in the book of Acts, like the church in general, just meeting together. So important. Stop neglecting meeting together. That's important. Now, why would I say that? Well, let me just give you some COVID facts. Can I do that? Shared COVID facts. Here's what we know 8 months into it. It's very true. 91.7% of COVID deaths are people 55 years of age or older. The CDC said that 94% of all COVID deaths had other health conditions. They usually relate them to COVID, but there are other health conditions, underlying health issues that were involved. 1 million deaths globally because of COVID. 1 million, that's a lot of people. And one person's death is so sorrowful. We don't want to lose any. But when we compare it with heart disease, it's the greatest global killer. The CDC says that every year, 17.9 million people globally die from heart disease. 17 million versus 1 million. So I realize that some of you still need to be very careful because of your compromised immune system. Some of you are going through cancer treatment. Some of you, as we recognize, we're entering into the flu season, the cold season, and year after year, everybody gets sick during that time. But the effects of isolation, the effects of people isolating themselves, saying, I will be safer isolating, we are finding has very devastating effects, leading to our message today about suicide. Here's some of the effects. 27.8% of those surveyed indicated symptoms of depression. 34% increase in divorce rates since the month of March. 69% increase of adolescent to parent violence in homes. 42% increase in drug overdose. We know a number of people that have overdosed, people who wish knew Jesus. 27% increase in alcohol sales in our nation. And the unhealthy environment is creating an increase in suicide. And that's our message today. It's time that we stand firm together. We need each other. The narrative needs to change. You are not safer at home. Unless you have a pre-existing condition, you know you should. But as we take a look here, that the Suicide Prevention Foundation, American Suicide Prevention, is saying literally that it's the 10th leading cause of death in America. 44,193 deaths per year. That is 5 deaths by suicide every hour. We have the Jason Foundation. Suicide is at the 2nd leading cause of death when it comes to youth in the age of 10 to 24 years of age. So we can literally say, it says each day our nation faces 5,240 youth who are attempting suicide every day, and that's in the age, basically, in the grades of 7 through 12. So I want to encourage you today, boy, for those who would ever have considered, and the times that I have had to hold the hands of family members who have had a loved one who have committed suicide. Oh, if that person only knew the devastation and just the heartache that the family deals with. Why did that person choose that way? Why didn't we step in? How could we have known? Oh, it's painful. I'm hoping today that God will help us and help you some way to assist. And me as a minister, all I want to just give is 4 biblical approaches that will help us. I'm certainly not a psychologist, certainly not a doctor, but I know the word of the Lord and how God brings hope to all of us. And He will today. Here are 4 biblical approaches that I'm believing if you are wrestling with thoughts of suicide, or you know somebody that is, they need to hear this message. Let's take a look at the first point, that hopeless situations are allowed by God. Boy, that's not a great start, is it? Sometimes those situations are allowed by God. You could take a look at elements and people in the scriptures. And that's why we encouraged ourselves in August and September. Our series was on the Bible, Handwriting of God. Boy, how we get hope and encouragement reading the Word. But you look at the scriptures and you pick any one of them, Noah and Moses and Elijah and Gideon and David. All of them faced crises or tragedies or people that were just dealing with hopelessness. It's very encouraging to read the scriptures. And God allowed those situations to take place, even in the New Testament. Boy, they were writing to the church. And let's take a look here in Acts chapter 14, verse 22. And I'm going to be reading a number of passages. I want you to enjoy that. I'm reading from the New King James, but also be reading from the New Living Translation. You'll know when I am. But Acts 14, verse 22, it says, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. One translation says, through hard times or hardship, enter the kingdom of God. Our final destination is the kingdom of God. We are going to enter into that final destination. But listen, there's going to be some pressing. God's going to allow some things. We just need to be aware of that. So, what are the benefits when God allows these things, or why did He permit it? Letter A, take a look at that. Hopeless situations allow us to see God more clearly. When we go through those areas, it's very difficult, but it helps us because it eliminates things that would normally clog up our ability to see spiritual things or see God, because pressure comes in. It can happen. I like Psalm 18, verse 6. You can see it now in Psalm 18, verse 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. And he heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him even to his ears. Wow. I'm telling you, maybe you're in that situation right now. And you're starting to see your need for God. This could be a great day where you say, Lord, I just surrender my life completely. I first remember as a young junior hire seeing my big brother, 6 years older than me, Bob, facing suicidal tendencies. Boy, he was running around with a rough bunch during his high school and post-high school days. Because of some heavy mescaline use and other drugs, he wanted to end his life. But we were shocked as a good Catholic family when he decided to visit a Catholic priest who said, Bob, you don't have enough of God in your life. And that even got him mad. He wanted to really jump all over that priest. And he said, you need Jesus in your life. Bob surrendered his life. It's an amazing miracle. That could be you right now, where you realize, I am in a situation. Why? Maybe God is now allowing you to see God more clearly. I remember the fact, you may want to write notes down, and I hope many of you are going into a life group this week, but 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 through 23, but it's in the situation where the prophet Elisha, his home is being surrounded by the Syrian army, and his associate, his servant, is panicked, saying, we are doomed. And he said to him in verse 16, 2 Kings, verse 6, he said, so he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And God allowed his servant's eyes to be open, and he could see all around the hillside flaming angels, flaming chariots. It's an amazing part of Scripture. He didn't see it before. Can God open up your eyes and you see something you didn't see before? I don't know if you've ever had those areas and you've done what's called life mapping. I remember those areas in a dark time of my life. It was the year 1983 and 1984. The situation was probably the most bleak I have ever faced. Those 2 years were the most challenging. I was a newlywed. I married Ainsley in 1982. Continued to go to Bible college, and my dad contracted liver cancer. That changed everything. I worked with my dad. I was the vice president of a closed corporation. Everything now landed on my shoulders. I had to run the business. I was the full-time volunteer, but full-time lead youth pastor at Azusa Four Square Church. Pressure coming from that. Pressure as a newlywed. Ainsley and I, at that same time, had a miscarriage, lost our baby. The pressure of trying to maintain and visit my dad and keep tabs with him and my mom, all the while trying to turn into my homework. And I decided I took my senior year and split it into 2 years. I was a night student now, working in the day, youth group still, nothing stopped. I was overwhelmed. The pressures were great. I could not believe it. Besides that, we purchased our first home in 1984. It was a fixer-upper, and all these things just compiled. I could not imagine, how did I find myself in such incredible pressure, let alone feeling guilty I wasn't maintaining my quiet time with God, doing my Bible work and turning in my assignments and studying for homework. Oh, it's a miracle. When I do my life mapping and you stick notes down, you realize, for me, that was a game changer. It's amazing when I look back, so much of my life was formatted. Now when I go through situations, it's a long time removed from 1984. My dad expired, went home to be with Jesus. He gave his life during the last 6 months of his life to the Lord. We thank God for that. I remember praying, oh Lord, you know what it's going to take to bring my dad to receive you as Savior and Lord. He was a good religious man, but he did not have Christ as a Savior. It's an interesting story for another day. But for me at that time, that hopeless situation, I started seeing God in great ways. And now when I look back, it is amazing to look back. everything I face now, it feels like just such small potatoes compared to that time. What formation happened in my life? I know that that happens to yours. If you ever just chart your life and say some of the greatest breakthroughs and the most victorious outcomes came during that low time when everything was sinking. Let's move on to letter B. Hopeless situations strengthen our faith and clarify our convictions. Boy, that's an important thing to remember, isn't it? So vital for us, because will you continue to follow Christ when things do not add up and things do not come together and you're looking for tangible evidence of God's goodness? You're looking for, where is His loving care? How can I trust Him? I don't have the provision. I've got a passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. It's the New Living Translation. It says, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. And though your faith is far from more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." Boy, that's an amazing passage that's so significant for us to remember. Our faith, our convictions will be refined. Boy, that's happening to so many of us in these days of uncertainty. Don't quit. Don't quit life. How can you see God win it for you if you check out? Don't do it. Please don't do it. Boy, life makes more sense once you say, "I am in it with God all the way." You'll see a breakthrough come. But don't back off. Don't stop. I like Job's words in Job chapter 13, verse 15, when he says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." One translation, "Yet will I hope in him. I might go down, but I'm still going to believe." So let's remember, hopeless situations are allowed by God. Number two, let's move on. Hopeless situations remind us of our ultimate hope. There is an ultimate hope. And I want to read Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. And it says, "Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." It's speaking of the ultimate hope for all of us is really heaven. That is the ultimate hope. Why? Well, letter A on your notes. Hopeless situations gets our focus off of this life. Every now and then, we just need that really aha body slam. It's like, listen, this life isn't forever. It isn't forever. There's always that reality when something's removed from us. It's important for us. When you strip life down to its essentials, you realize what is our ultimate and true hope. It's too easy to place our hope on things in this life. We actually fall in love with this world. It happens to all of us. We fall in love with career. We fall in love with money. We fall in love with possessions. We fall in love with positions and pleasures and accomplishments. We just fall in love with life. I love what I do as a pastor. I really do. Oh, it's work, a lot of work, but I love it. But I would give it up if God called me for anything else because I love Him more. And it's interesting to note in 1 John chapter 2, it's the New Living Translation, verse 15 to 17, says, "Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For the world offers only a craving of physical pleasure, a craving of everything we see, and pride in all our accomplishments and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world, and this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever." Boy, that's important. If we've lost anything in this economy. You have people who have lost jobs. Men, when they simply just lose their job, they sometimes lose their identity. Men are very prone to go into deep despair because everything that people know them of. That's when you go to a festivity or family gathering. Hey, what are you doing for work these days? I'm between jobs. It's painful for men. So we have to be careful. We need to be aware that our lives are much more than that. We have to have our hope in those things that really do matter, but you can tell when people place their hope in wrong places. It leads to despair. Some even lead tragically to suicide. We've all read stories where men just kill their entire family, tragically do that, and then commit suicide. Why would somebody do that? They've placed their hope in the wrong condition. I see where people place their hopes in their spouse only to have their spouse disappoint them, and they consider then divorce, or we place our positions or our hopes all in maybe people that we know or the wrong places, or God forbid, maybe the pastor, and he disappoints us. But letter B, take a look. Hopeless situations get our focus on eternity. As you know, that's really where it's at. It's so important for us. Fix our hope on the right place. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 and 25 says this, "For we," talking to you and me, "we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." It's talking about, ultimately, the hope of heaven. And if we move out of hopelessness in any way, it's going to be because we fix it on the right place. Listen, friends, I just got to remind, heaven's real. Matter of fact, if you're making notes and you want a good sermon point, heaven is real. You can put it there. It's a real place. People go there upon departure from this planet. Also, heaven is relationships. You want to put that? That's important for you to know. Man, you have people that you know in Christ. They are waiting for you, relationships. And all the many people are waiting for your arrival. Heaven is rewards. God's going to reward your faithfulness when it's good and when it's not so good. Heaven is rewards. Heaven is also renewal. God promises to make everything new, right down to your body will have a change. And finally, heaven is residence. We're going to have a new dwelling place. Jesus says, "I go to prepare a place for you." Remember that in John chapter 14, verse 1 through 4. But the best way to protect yourself from despair, of hopelessness, is really do not fall in love with this world. Enjoy the world. Enjoy things. God wants you to have pleasure. Scripture is so clear. Man, rejoice over everything, in all things, in everything. Give thanks. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Just enjoy life in all extremes. But be careful. Don't fall in love with the world. There's nothing of the love of the Father in that. So when we take a look, let's remind ourselves, heaven is a real place. We are not leaving the land of the living to go off to the land of the dead. We're actually leaving the land of the dead to go off to the land of the living. So don't forget that. It's very important. This is not a perfect world. And if you are disappointed, there's a better place, but hang on. Hang on to God. Remember, hopeless situations remind us of our ultimate hope. That is really in heaven. Let's take a look at number three. Hopeless situations can still accomplish good. I have found that so many times, I don't even have the time to number them all. But the scripture says this in Romans chapter 8, verse 24. And we know that all things, how many? All things. What does all mean? All means all, and that's all means. I just thought I'd throw that in there. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So God uses everything. Letter A, check it out. And God is always looking for opportunities in hopeless situations. Letter A says that. How? Well, here's one. It's really the story of the blind man in John chapter 9. So important for us to recognize that. You know that story, but I think it's intriguing because the disciples ask, man, why is this guy in that condition? I have always asked, how did I end up here? You might have asked that. Why am I living this way? I know I should have it better. Look at that person and look at that family. So in Romans, it comes along here. It's interesting because, John chapter 9, verse 2. It says this, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Now, Jesus is always looking for opportunities to reveal his work in hopeless situations. Oh, friends, you could be that. Your hopeless situation, God is looking for an opportunity to reveal his greatness. Be careful and don't go down that alley. Don't be tempted to think, well, I'm only in this condition because I'm sure I sinned, or if I'm not going to change my lifestyle, I know it's those other people in my life, they've sinned, and that's why my life is ruined, it's over, I'm done for. Don't do that. Possibly, God is looking for an opportunity to do something great in your life, and no one has sinned. Be aware of that. It's important. Hopeless situations really create an opportunity for the power of God to come. And that's important. Everyone's going to see God work in your life. No one's going to miss God, and especially you, because you're living it. God really is one that likes a little bit of the flair of the dramatic. And if you are in that situation, hold tight. It's going to be a great outcome. God works all things out for the good. God is still looking to work in hopeless situations. So what hopeless situation are you in right now? Are you in one in any way? God could really be looking for that happening, and it's going to be powerful. Letter B, our response in hopeless situations determines the outcome. Our response is so important. In John 9, back to the blind man, Jesus rubbed some dirt, turned into mud in his eye, and said, go wash into the pool. Can you imagine? What if this guy said, I don't want to do that Christian stuff. I don't want to attend that stuff. He got not only irritated, he got mad. He said, this is totally stupid. I've heard people say, I reject the things of God. You Christians have it all wrong. But this man obeyed, and he saw a miracle, and God's glory and the power of God came. So it requires us to respond in proper ways. In Romans 8:28, it's not an unconditional promise. There's a condition there to those who love God. That's important. To those who love God, all things work together for good. Not everything that happens to you or me is good, but we follow a God of the Bible who has in his book, all things work together for good. He's the only one who can turn it out for good. But the condition being loves God. What does it mean to love God? 1 John 5:3. I found it. It means this. Check it out. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. This is the love of God that we keep, that we obey God. It's crucial to have our response to obey the Lord. Oh, it's not easy. It's not easy when you're in despair. I would even encourage people, why don't you go ahead and mourn the loss, cry it out, be in grief for a while, experience the pain, but hold tight and keep loving God. When you come back to the Lord, it opens up so many great things. Oh, he's waiting for us. And I believe that God is longing to do great things in our hopeless situation. Well, finally, number four. Some hopeless situations in this life, God does not change. Boy, I wrestled with this point, but the fact of the matter is, there's some truth to that. Some hopeless situations, God does not change, but you can still trust God even in your hopeless situation. Would you choose to do that? That is going to be a precursor for some great breakthroughs. God, why doesn't the disease go away? Oh, dear Lord, why does my spouse not believe? Why does my career seem to be over? Lord, why am I losing my house? Why can't I get pregnant? Why can't I get married? Can I still trust God in these hopeless situations if nothing changes? Jeremiah was in that condition in Jeremiah 15, verse 18. It's the New Living Translation. He says, why then does my suffering continue? Why is my wound so incurable? Your help seems as uncertain as a seasonal brook, like a spring that has gone dry. Have you ever felt that way? Jeremiah saying, I don't know if I can really trust God. He was called the weeping prophet. How would you like that for a title? In a very dark season of the nation of Israel, he was asked of God to bring words to them of God's sorrow and disappointment and impending doom and captivity that was coming. They didn't like Jeremiah. They put him in a dungeon, and if that wasn't worse, they put him in the cesspool held there by ropes under his armpit. He was just in a real mess, but he was obedient to God. It's important when we take a look at that. Two truths to remember if God doesn't change the situation. Letter A, when God doesn't change the situation, he increases his presence and his power. Boy, Paul's thorn in the flesh, I'm sure most of you have been aware of that. It's interesting when we read the New Living Translation, 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9. Listen what Paul says about this. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time God said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses, Paul says, so that the power of Christ can work through me. Wow, what a statement. When God doesn't change situations, he increases his presence and his power. I have experienced that. Would you experience that too? If you're going through those situations, can you experience God's presence is here? I can sense him. So many people call the church and say, oh, Pastor, thank you for having people pray. We feel your prayers. We feel the presence of God and the power of God. God will always say yes to you, but he may say no to your situation. Please understand, he'll say no to your situation, but he'll say and always say yes to you. He loves you. You're important to him. He'll increase power and strength over you. He'll be with you during that time. Fact of life that God is not going to remove anything that would cause those areas of difficulty and challenges. Remember, it's Jesus who said you're going to go through hard times in John 16, 33. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome it. He still loves you. God does not remove all the hopeless circumstances from our lives, but listen, he still loves you. He still loves you. Sometimes God allows brokenness to continue so, again, we can experience the closeness with him and his provision and his power. That's my heart's desire for you today, for all of you, regardless of your condition. Are you close to God right now? Are you close? Do you need to have something removed so that you can experience the fullness of the kingdom? Well, I just want to go after him right now, and I'm glad you're here today because of that. Well, finally, how important it is, letter B, when God doesn't change the situation, he will change you. That's important. God's about that. It's important to take a look here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It's from the New Living Translation. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Hallelujah. He's going to finish a work, and he's making a change in you, no doubt about it. God is at work within you. It's important for you. He may not change your circumstance, But he is changing you, your character. God is much more interested in Paul Harmon's character development than my comfort. Oh, he just brings blessings, and it's amazing. Are you willing to allow God to change you? I don't want to be the same person I was 5 years ago. I want to be changed. I see change that's happening in my life. Do you see change? I want to be different, better, more improved, even next year. So how do we cooperate with God when everything seems dark? Let me just lay it out quickly for you. To cooperate with God, humility. Lord, I recognize you're in charge. Boy, what else can you do? Lord, I humble myself before you. Secondly, I surrender, Lord. I am going to surrender to what you have. Check out the scriptures. Find out what his will is. But Lord, ultimately, you really are in charge. My life is yours. Don't take it back. My life is yours, God. And acceptance, our responsibility to walk with God. And then finally, obedience would be that, the fourth one, which is predicated on all of them dealing with humility and surrender and acceptance. Lord, I obey you. I'm willing. It releases, it really unleashes all the promises and the blessings of God for your life. Well, I know it's a challenge that so many of us are facing. Some of us are hoping somebody will come and right all the wrongs in our nation or in our community or bring in the perfect setting or establish the perfect church or the perfect family, or I'm looking for the perfect mate. Wow. Keep your hopes on what God has promised you. It's important. There is a book being written about you in heaven. You know that. Our desire and prayer as we lead toward our communion time is once again Romans 15:13. Now may the God of peace fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound by the power, bound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to believe for you as you enter into communion with us. You're using that signal like, Lord, once again, I surrender my life and believe that Jesus' sacrificial atoning work on the cross has won the victory for me, and I will overcome this. Do not be a quitter. Hang tight. The word is be faithful to God. Be faithful to God. I want to invite Pastor Andre up, and let's prepare our hearts for communion. Let's watch what a miracle is going to happen in our midst right now. Pastor Andre, glad that you've come. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Andre.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor Paul. I'm so grateful for this message, and what a great reminder and a wake-up call, really, to so many people that are going through tough times. And I want to take this opportunity, before we even get into communion, I want to offer you who are watching online the opportunity to maybe give your heart to God for the first time ever. Maybe this is something that you've done years, decades ago, and now you're saying, you know what, it's time for me to come back to that true heart, to that true heart that God wants me to be. And just like Pastor Paul said, we do. So if this is you, if you feel like it's time for you to recommit your life or to commit your life to Jesus and accept him as your personal Lord and Savior for the first time, would you just do that with me right now? Would you close your eyes with me and just pray this? Repeat after me. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I want to turn away from my sinful life to the life you have planned for me. Please forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my past. Make me new. I know your Son, Jesus Christ, died for me. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. At this very moment, I accept, confess, and proclaim Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, to live in my heart from this day forward. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace that has saved me from my sins and has given me eternal life. Please send your Holy Spirit to guide me and to help me do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If this was you today, man, I got goosebumps. I'm so excited for you. What a decision to make today. What a day to make that decision. What a message to make this decision after. Man, this is so good. This is so great. I want you to know that today, November 1st, 2020, is a day where your life has been changed. Man, this is so good. The Lord is rejoicing. The heaven is rejoicing. And us here at Hope Chapel, we want to rejoice with you as well. So you're going to see at the end of the service a little email that's going to pop up, office@hopechapelhb.org. If you made that decision today, would you please just let us know? We want to rejoice with you. If not, that's okay. Heaven is already rejoicing. So don't worry about it. But we want to get to celebrate as well. Awesome. So we're going to go ahead and transition into our communion segment. And so over here, if you've ever attended one of our in-person services, you are familiar with our communion elements. If not, hey, grab a wafer, get some juice, something to just make it count, right? And I'm going to be leading us through Matthew 26, the account of the communion from there. And starting verse 26, it says, "Now as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to them, he said, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" That's you. That's you who just rededicated your life. You get to do that with Jesus Christ. We get to do that with him in the kingdom of God. And then the next verse, I want to just highlight this, verse 30. It says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the olive, to the Mount of Olives." And we know what happens after that. And so would you, let's just take the communion aspect. Would you just bring your wafer, cracker, whatever it may be, just hold it up. And what we usually do is just we break this in resemblance of what was done to the body of Jesus Christ. His body was broken for us. His body was broken for you and me. Not just for it to happen, but because it symbolized what he had gone through. And also the healing that comes from that. The healing that comes from a broken body. Can you imagine? Something broken will bring healing to something that was already broken. Ponder on that. So would you take this in remembrance of what Christ did for you and me today? And for the portion of the juice, as you can see, that Jesus told his disciples that the juice resembles not just his blood, but it's a covenant. It's a covenant that was made. You always hear about the covenant between man and God. Covenant that's been made between God and Abraham, God and Moses. And there's a covenant that's been made with you and with me, through the blood of Jesus Christ. How cool is it that we can say, yes, we take this juice in remembrance of something that Jesus did thousands of years ago. But that covenant still holds true. That we get to celebrate, that we get to rejoice. So let's take this juice together in remembrance of your sins, my sins that were washed away, my sins that were cast away in the sea of forgetfulness. We get to celebrate what is done. And then before we close service, I want to take you back to verse 30. So as you know, they were all sitting together. And Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen, right? Because in verse 25, we see that Judas did say, "Is it going to be me, Rabbi?" And Jesus said, "You have said so." So he knew what was happening. Nothing was going to be of surprise to him. So in verse 30, it says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." And I want to just highlight this for you. Maybe you need to hear this today. Aspect of worship music is not just there for you to enjoy, but it's something for you to act on. You get to act on the aspect of being willing and being able to rejoice, give praise, and sing a song to God especially in the hard times. Not only in the good times. We don't just praise the Lord when good happens. We praise the Lord when the worst is happening. We see that even when Daniel was in that room with all of the lions. It wasn't a room, it was a pit. He still sung praises to God. Some of us would say, you know what? I feel like I've got an army of lions faced up against me, and it seems like they haven't eaten in over a decade. I say, let's praise God. So would you go out singing with a hymn today? Would you wrap up service today? Let's just sing a hymn. Would you yourself just start singing a hymn? I don't know what hymn they sung back then. It wasn't, I don't know what it was. I'm sure something Moses came up with. But would you just sing a hymn today to God? It doesn't have to be something that's already been published. You sing your own hymn to him so that you can go out and be able to face what seems to be the impossible. Because let me tell you, God is going to walk you through it. Thank you, Pastor Paul. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for all that you've done today. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your words. I thank you for your hand over every person, every household that tuned into the service today. And Father, I pray that as we have received, we would be able to give. Lord, as we have received, we would be able to process, to be able to think through. And Lord, I thank you for great pastors, great leadership, just like Pastor Paul and Ainsley, that you speak through them, that they could speak boldly, and no topic is too wild or too crazy for them to talk about. So Lord, we thank you for your word that comes through your servants. We thank you for this day. We thank you for a new hope that's given to us. Thank you, Lord, that we get to celebrate another Sunday. We thank you for November. The celebration of your birth is that much closer. Christmas is almost here. Lord, we thank you that this is a month of thanksgiving. Let us be able to give thanks and rejoice daily, God. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. May God bless you, everyone. Have a wonderful Sunday. Goodbye.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.